Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
One of the things that intrigues me is the growing body of evidence that not only have we lived many lives, but our reality right now can be influenced by things that happened in both past and future lives. I'm one of many who has experienced the miracle of curing a phobia through past life regression, so I know it works, and I'm going to share that truth with you today. Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes. Our guest this week for the second time is my very good friend, Peter Wright. Peter's last visit here was to talk about the removal of attached entities, which is one of the icky parts of this field that I don't even like to think about. However, Peter also is a therapist who, with considerable expertise in the field of past life regression therapy, and that's a wonderful topic. We're going to have a lot of fun today. Welcome, Peter. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, first, tell us a little bit about your past. You're a hypnotherapist, right?
That is correct. I'm a certified hypnotherapist and a board certified past life regression therapist, one of only about 50 in the nation.
Who knew there was a board for that? Who certifies that?
The International Board of Regression Therapy.
Oh my goodness, we're getting scientific and serious. I just love it. Well, Peter, you've been doing this for how many years?
25.
Okay, well, so let's just say you're not a newbie in this field. But before we get into talking about what this is and why it works so well, I'd just like to, from the viewpoint of an afterlife researcher and expert, I guess, because there are no others, in the greater field of, in the field of the greater reality, very few people even understand this is a place where you could become an expert. Let me tell you why this would make sense, what we're about to talk about. The first thing you need to understand is that we have lived many lives, and we will live many future lives on Earth. But most of our time is spent in the greater reality because we're eternal parts of eternal mind. So that's fact number one. Fact number two is that because there's no time in the greater reality, time is a sort of part of the artificial package that exists only in this material universe, which we think is less than 5% of what exists. Because there's no time there, they tell us all our lives are happening at once. I can't get my mind around it. They say we shouldn't even try. When I say they, I mean the real experts, the upper-level dead who are telling us this stuff. They say don't even try to understand how reincarnation works or how all of this works. One of them said, and I found this memorable, that we should think of our minds as a bucket from which each lifetime is dipped and back into which each lifetime is poured, which makes a little more sense to me, but I still have trouble with the time thing. But anyway, that's the backdrop for trying to cure various ills which actually have their origin, I guess, in the mind. I guess that's one thing we're proving. So, Peter, you've been doing this for a long time. Have you always been interested in past lives in particular?
Yes, indeed. I've always first been interested in hypnosis since I was a kid, and then back in the 50s with the book that came out called The Search for Bridie Murphy, it did a lot to popularize the possibility of past lives. I remember reading it back then and being very intrigued.
I didn't read the book, but I read the articles about it, and I was very young. You must be very old if you remember that. I'm very old, and I remember it. But this was a big thing because it's the first time, or one of the first times, that there's really been sort of popular lay interest in the whole notion of reincarnation. Mm-hmm. A child had memories that were then turned into a book. Who was this person, and what was she like? Now, one of the things that I think people should know is if you try to look it up, you'll find out the whole story was discredited. It wasn't discredited. This is part of the endless effort by people who think that they know what they're doing to discredit all the facts that are coming out. I mean, 95% of reality, they're not even studying. So if you find out that Peter and I are misguided, that, of course, that didn't happen. Just be aware, it did happen. There was no successful debunking done. So what they do is they just say, well, that was never true, and they tell you that, and they hope you'll believe it. It's a little digression there. But I agree with you. That opened my mind a lot, too, because I had never even, in the West, reincarnation was just never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
And what kinds of things can it help, in your opinion?
Well, I find that by going into past lives, you can help resolve, come to closure with, heal almost any issue that you're currently facing. So I use it from a therapeutic standpoint to help clients release the past, if you will.
Okay, but you use it for people who had just have issues in their childhood in this life too, right?
Right, or current issues, or relationship problems, problems around feeling blocked in some way about moving forward, issues involving pain in the body where the medical profession doesn't seem to know really what's causing it.
Okay.
And often there's a past life connection.
But if there isn't, if you find the reason you're afraid of heights is your mom dropped you 20 feet at one point in your life when you were a baby, if you find that, then you don't have to go farther back, right? You only
exactly.
Go...
But I find that using hypnosis to invite your own higher self, your own inner wisdom, to take us back to the cause or source of that particular issue or problem or concern, it could be in this life, and so that's where we go. Or if the higher self says, no, the cause is in a past life, that's where we go. Inviting the higher self to take us back to that particular past life where we can come to closure, heal, resolve that particular issue.
Wow. Okay. And it zeros right in. It isn't, you don't have to grope at all.
It knows it takes us where we need to go.
Wow. Now, how far back might these lives have been lived? What is typical, or is there a typical?
There isn't a typical because what we find in this type of work, and again, you talked about the issue of past lives in terms of when they occurred. According to the literature, our lifetimes are not sequential. So your most recent past life could have been in the 14th century. And the one before that could have been in the 19th century.
Yes. See, this is part of their all happening at once thing, which makes everybody's eyes cross.
Exactly.
And you're finding that to be true as well.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
No one said this wouldn't be strange. Everything about all this research into the greater reality and what actually is going on is kind of strange because we've been kept from understanding basic things for our whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
So to you and me, it's not remarkable that would be the case, that that's how the lives would come up, since they're really not being lived in order. History isn't happening in any kind of order that we can understand. Tell us some interesting stories of the regression therapy that's been successful.
Oh, sure. Well, there was a professor at the University of Virginia, Dr. Ian Stevenson.
Oh, yes.
Studied more than 600 cases of children in particular who had remembered their previous life. And followed up with these children to find out more about could that past life actually have happened. And
yes.
He was remarkably successful
yes.
in his
oh,
research
yes.
and helped to bolster this whole area as a true science of how the soul evolves.
Now, I recommend to anybody who's interested at all in this to read 20 Cases Suggestive of Reincarnation. That's his central book, but there are a variety of others, all mm-hmm. fascinating, all sort of dry. He's a scientist writing for scientists, but full of amazing information.
Mm-hmm.
What I think mm-hmm. is the case of his particular examples is that most of the ones I've read seem to be cases of a violent death and
yep.
someone who didn't then completely transition. One of the children said he remembered that he was killed, and then he was sat in a tree for a while, and he saw a mother walking below and thought she'd be a good mother. So he went into her fetus and was born, and that's why he was standing there as a three-year-old, which to me was one of the cases. But there are others, too, that indicate that those might be incomplete transitions. They usually are within the lifetime of other people who knew the person who died, which, as you say, isn't really normal. Usually we're going to go way farther back than that.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was a case of someone who had been killed with a shotgun, the child had the marks of that shotgun blast on his chest. And apparently his children had it, but much smaller and sort of lower on the body, which I thought was really, really interesting.
Yes.
That's part of what's fun about this, Peter. It's so fascinating.
And so, in fact, for examples like that, what Stevenson discovered was, as you take a look at the autopsy of the deceased and discover that the bullet entered through the chest and, of course, exited it in the back of the chest, and on the child, the birthmark is in the exact same location.
Isn't that fascinating? Oh,
wow.
My goodness. Yes. Well, I was right. There's no rational explanation except the one which is rational and comfortable for us to talk about, since we know it does happen, and that's that the same person came back in a different body. And I hope everyone listening understands that if that's the case, if even one of these cases is true, then the game is over for materialist science altogether, because that shows that the mind not only survives, but it survives to be in another person. And I don't care how you spin it, the fact that there are, as you point out, hundreds of these cases carefully studied and verified by a scientist at a respected university, they're open and shut as far as I'm concerned, Peter. I'm sure you feel the same way.
Absolutely.
I actually had a phobia that was cured this way, and it happened even without a therapist, but which I'll talk about in the second part of our conversation. But I come to you and I've got a phobia of heights. What would happen in your office? What would we do? You do this long distance too, right?
I do it on occasion by phone as well as by Skype, depending upon the client. And so we set our intention then for the session and invite you to go back to the cause or source. So as we begin, I take you into a very relaxed place of hypnosis, which is basically focused concentration, where you're fully aware of everything that's going on around you, but at the same time, hopefully, you're sharing with me what's going on inside of you.
Right.
In other words, I'm asking you to be my tour guide, all right?
Okay, because that sounds gentle. Okay.
We'll be talking back and forth throughout the entire session. Now, what's also important to know is that about 60% of my clients are visual. So we go into a past life story, and they see it all. It's like they're starring in their own motion picture costume drama.
Terrific. Do they feel it as if they're the person, or are they seeing it as a third-person observer?
They are the person.
Yeah,
it's their story.
Right.
They're telling their story.
Wow.
And so about 40% of my clients, though, and I'm in this group, are more kinesthetic or audio. In other words, whenever I go into one of my past lives or up into the spirit world, I don't see anything. I hear it. I
really
sense it. I feel it. But frankly, Scarlett, I'm making up the whole thing because I don't see it.
Yeah.
Well, the soul, your soul, speaks through your imagination. And the imagination is not making things up. Rather, it's translating what is within you into words and pictures and ideas and so on that help you make sense of that story.
Okay? Wow, what a great description that is. What you're saying is, sure, it's your imagination, but the food for that imagination, the things that are being imagined, are actually memories.
Exactly. So tell the story as if it's important. All right? So I take you into a relaxed state of hypnosis, and I count then from 1 to 5 and ask you to just simply follow your own higher self that we've met earlier in the session on back to the cause or source of this fear of heights. At 1, going backwards in time, 2, 3, 4, 5. Plant yourself firmly down in the memory of your body as it was then, and plant your feet firmly into that body. And look down now and clearly see or sense or feel your feet. What are you wearing on your feet? Now, the visual people may look at their feet and say, moccasin, because they see them right there.
Right.
But for those of us who are more kinesthetic or audio, it is instead perhaps, oh, it feels like a moccasin, or the word moccasin comes to mind, or I just know that I'm wearing moccasin. So it's the first thought.
Right.
Okay? Now, become aware of your hands. Are they large or small or medium? First thought. Hair. Long or short or medium? First thought. And you're sharing this with me. Now, expand your awareness. What are you wearing around your body? But I'm making it up. That's okay. First thought. Are you inside or outside? Daytime or nighttime? Alone or with people? What's happening? pretty quickly we have a character, you, telling your story, whether you see it, sense it, or feel it.
Wow.
Okay? Or a combination.
Right.
So we then move forward into that story looking for the defeats. Where did things go wrong for you? Or if you defeated others, if you're the bad guy, the perpetrator, how did you harm others? So we go through the lifetime until the death and the events leading up to your death, because that's a major change for you, shall we say.
Right.
Through the death, how did you die, and what was your dying thought? Because, for example, the Tibetan Buddhists believe that a dying thought can have a major impact on an upcoming lifetime. So, if you die of starvation, maybe the final thought is, there's never enough food. Well, maybe that's in the back of your mind in this lifetime, in this body, where you feel like there's never enough food, so you overeat, when in fact there's plenty of food.
Ah, right.
Okay. We then go, invite you to, in your spirit body, how does it feel as you move from that physical body into the spirit body? Oh, it feels much lighter, typically I'm told by my clients. And then I invite you to go to the bardo, the in-between place between lifetimes. It's within, the Tibetan Buddhist religion.
Right.
And so in that place, at the count of three, be there. 1, 2, 3, are you there? Yes, you tell me. In your imagination. We invite anyone from that lifetime with whom you're unfinished to come and join us. So you can come to closure with them. So you imagine them with you as that farmer who, in the story of his life, we discovered, as you shared it with me, that we first saw you plowing the field. Next, you told me that you met a girl at a farm nearby. You fell in love with her. You got married. Next important event, she's pregnant. Next important event, rumors of war, but it's not going to affect you because your farm is in the middle of nowhere. And then the next important event, of course, is that the invading army comes marching through and takes you with them to fight for them. So you are very angry because you'll never see your wife again, your pregnant wife. What's going to happen to your farm? You're forced to go into battle, and almost immediately you're killed. So even more anger there.
Of course. We
then go up into the spirit world and into the bardo, and this is where, for me, the healing takes place, where we resolve the issues for this particular story and any story that occurs in that past life, where you have a chance to invite those with whom you're unfinished to join us. So who shows up first? My wife. Oh, how does she look? She looks terrific. We often remember them in the height of their beauty or virility.
Of course.
What do you want to say to your wife that you couldn't say to her before you died? Oh, I'm really sorry for what happened.
Yeah.
You say to me, to her as well. Does she hear you? Yeah, she does. How does she respond? She forgives me. It was wartime. She understands. Oh, how does that feel, I ask you? Much better. So we come to closure with the wife. Now, I want you to look deeply into the eyes of your wife in that lifetime, down into her very soul. Does she remind you of anyone in your present lifetime? Oh my gosh, it's my fill in the blank.
Because
often we're reborn with the same souls, lifetime after lifetime, but it playing different roles.
Right.
Because that's how we learn our experiences, how we learn to help our souls grow from the choices that we make. Okay?
Right.
So,
this is fun, Peter. But thank you. I think you're speaking clearly enough, thank you, that everybody understands this. And I hope you're all enjoying this. Go ahead, dear.
Okay. So we then ask who shows up next. Oh, it's my child who I never met. Is it a boy or girl? It's a girl. What do you want to say to your daughter that you couldn't say to her because you never met her? Oh, I'm so sorry for what happened. Does she hear you? Yeah, she does. What does she say? She thanks me. What? ask her why. Why does she thank you? So I ask the client then asks his daughter, again in his imagination, why are you thanking me? Well, she tells me that she knew I would die before she was born because that's why she chose me to be her father, so that she would have to take on additional responsibilities for the farm, raising herself and taking care of her mother. Oh,
wow.
So no wonder she thanks you.
Yeah.
So
okay.
How does that feel? Relief. Now, once we come to closure with the daughter, look deeply into her eyes. Does she remind you of anyone in your present lifetime? Oh my gosh, it's my fill in the blank. Often there are similar issues involved with that person in your life today. And that's why they were brought into your life today to help you resolve those issues.
Uh-huh.
And this is all from an actual session that I had with a client. Who shows up next? The man who shot me in the shoulder. So what do you want to say to him if your heart could speak to him directly? Blah, 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 anger, frustration, how dare you? Does he hear you? Yes, he does. How does he respond? He tells me he was just as frightened as I was. Oh. Well, you know that somehow you survived that lifetime because you're alive and well in the recliner in my office.
Right, right.
And you know that you did the very best you could do. Otherwise, you would have done something different. And he did the very best he could do. Otherwise, he would have done something different. So what typically happens is we get to a point of forgiveness where you forgive him, he forgives you, and you come to closure with the issue. So in this case, that happened. Typically, it does. And I then invited the client to look deeply into the eyes of the man who shot him, and does he remind you of any of your present lifetime? And the client said to me, oh, my gosh, it's my boss who I can't stand.
Oh, it's my boss. I love it.
So that, well, you're perhaps being brought together in this life to resolve those issues.
Right.
And what typically happens is that the relationship gets better because of this regression, where the boss may know nothing about and probably doesn't know anything about a past life that you spent together, but the karma has been released, has come to closure. So it allows you to move forward. And we could use the same story for the fear of heights, where you can move forward without that as a problem.
So what you're saying here is something really important. You're saying, even if you don't have what you might call a presenting complaint, you can benefit tremendously by just asking your higher self, where are the things that are in past lives that are affecting me now, and then solving them this way, basically closing the circle on them, healing the wound.
Exactly.
That's news to me. I've always thought of your profession as, you know, which you go to the doctor because you've got a problem. Well, I'm going to tell my story of how I was cured of the fear of heights. It was a problem. But I think I'm going to have to come visit you next time I'm in Santa Barbara and just have you look back at my past and see what else we can find that's making me a little strange. This is amazing. We have a lot more to talk about. I just want to say quickly, this is Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. My nonfiction books are The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, Liberating Jesus and My Thomas. You can learn about all my books and find my blog at robertagrimes.com. And what we're talking about today with Peter Wright, who is a licensed hypnotherapist and a certified past life regression therapist, of which there are 50 in the country. This is a person very senior in a field you may never have heard of before, but it is one of the perhaps easiest ways, and I can say this from personal experience, to heal, especially fears you have now that really don't have a rational basis. They do have a basis, just not in this lifetime. So his name is Peter Wright. Now, he's delightful just to know, so I would just go and have a visit with you, even if it was just to chat. But tell us how people who may need your help really can find you.
Yes, I have an office in Santa Barbara, California, which is located about 100 miles north of Los Angeles. So I see clients there every day of the week. Plus, I do occasional Skype and phone sessions with clients, and I have a website, and the URL is www.insightsfromwithin.com. Insightsfromwithin.com.
Are you booked very far ahead if someone wanted to visit?
I am
you?
Booked, but please give a call because I look forward to arranging my schedule to accommodate as many people as I can because
I love
I'm
that.
So
Thank
passionate
you.
About this work.
I can see that, and it's good for you to be open to people because I can see if someone had an acute need and thought this might solve it, they may want to get in sooner.
You mentioned about particular issues. Many of my clients are just simply intrigued by past lives, and so our intention for that session is to ask their own inner wisdom, their higher self, to take us back to the most important past life for them to explore today for their greatest good. And therefore, get out of the way and allow that story to unfold, and we'll discover by the end of the session what the issues were that came forth and the healing that occurred. So it doesn't have to be so focused on a particular problem or concern or relationship or whatever. It can be very open-ended, and we just turn it over to the higher self to say, oh, let's focus on this issue today because that's what Alice really needs to heal or resolve or come to closure with.
That's wonderful. It seems to me clean out your subconscious pretty well if you did enough of these, right?
Right, exactly.
One by two, you're getting rid of all those old blocks. I'm just going to quickly tell my story because
Please.
I said I would, but we're going to go back and talk about some things that may be a little bit strange at first blush, but I think that they flow naturally from what you're telling us. When I was in my latter teens, I suddenly started to become very much afraid of heights. And I wasn't afraid to be in an airplane or on the top of a building. What I was afraid of was being in a place where I could step off an edge. And it became, as I got older, it became more and more disabling. And I know it arose in my late teens. I don't know exactly when, but eventually it got to be really bad. I mean, I couldn't have a window open if it was above the first floor, and I stayed away from the closed windows. Very bad, because I still could open the window and step out. So eventually, when I started to learn about this part of our area and realized past life regression seemed to be real, I didn't believe any of this, of course, till I saw how it all fit with everything else and began to see that indeed it works for people. I said, oh, I wonder if that's where my fear of heights comes from. And then I sort of put it out of my mind. But within a few days, I started to get these little flashes. I'm standing on a cliff. It's like southwest the United States. I'm standing mm-hmm. on a cliff.
Uh-huh.
The sun is just coming up. It's sort of dark, but you can see the sun is rising. And I know I can fly. The person that I was then, I gradually came to know, was a teenaged American Indian male.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always male, it seems to me, in all these lifetimes. I was this young man who was sure that I was pure enough spiritually I would be able to fly. I don't even know when it was. It was obviously long before the Europeans got there. And suddenly one day, I'd been having these random thoughts like, you know, you remember a movie or this, and suddenly I realized, that's really nothing I've ever seen before. And I do seem to think I was that person. I wonder if that little idiot stepped off the cliff. And then I didn't think about it again. The flashbacks went away. Several months later, a friend of mine was having her company's 25th anniversary of its existence in New York City. You know, big gala the night before, and those of us who were intrepid went to their office on that Sunday. It was in September. It was very warm,
mm-hmm.
and the air conditioning was off. This was, I think, the 40th floor or something like that. And all the windows were open, of course, because it was very warm without air conditioning. And I could see the Chrysler Building right out the window. You know, the little birdies, whatever those eagle things are that are on it. So I went right to the window, and I could see it, but I could see better if I leaned out a little more. And I looked back, and my husband was standing in the doorway of that room, and I still remember the look on his face. He could not believe it, because he knew how disabling my fear was.
Mm-hmm.
And he came very carefully and took my hand and took me out of the room, and he thought I would have insisted on leaving. But I realized I wasn't afraid anymore, Peter. I was not afraid.
Exactly.
And I've never been afraid of that again. just remembering when I had done something stupid in a previous lifetime right. made me altogether forget the worry that I might ever do it again. It's gone.
And the latest research in neuroscience backs this up. Science tells us that every time we remember something, we unlock it from its own neuro network. And for about 6 hours, it becomes malleable. So that this is by going back in a relaxed place, using hypnosis or other similar types of tools, it can help us release, let go of, as you did in with your example, by yourself.
By myself. Isn't that surprising?
And you came to closure with it. And I would suggest that the reason that this particular fear of heights came into being in your late teens was that it was triggered by being about the same age as that American Indian boy was when he jumped off and tried to fly.
Right.
So that the body remembered that in your present life and therefore was triggered by it. And then at the same time, by taking control of it, by going back into the story, telling the story to yourself, and deciding and releasing it. You said, I don't have to do this. I don't need to carry this with me anymore.
Well,
it shifted it. It changed it, and it hasn't been a problem since.
Isn't that wonderful? I love the whole idea of past life regressions now because, obviously, it's very useful to be able to remember a past life if it's one that's affected you this way. This was not any of my more recent lives. This was a long time ago, and apparently I probably have always had that phobia since in other lifetimes, although maybe not since, as we know, they're not happening in order. Who knows?
Who knows?
The beauty of it is anyone who has a phobia, there is relief. And it's
exactly.
immediate, and you don't have to do talk therapy. All you have to do is have a visit with a certified therapist, someone who really knows how to do this, and it's all gone.
And it's often one session. This is short-term therapy. Plus, I think it's very important to underscore, because for me, at the end of a session, a client will say to me, Peter, was I really a farmer who was forced to go off to war to, fight for the enemy? I mean, really? Well, Dr. Brian Weiss, who is a psychiatrist who wrote a groundbreaking book called Many Lives, Many Masters,
right.
believes that up to 80% of what happens in this past life story could have happened to you. Maybe. Or maybe you attracted to you someone else's story from the collective unconscious that Carl Jung talked about. All the
right.
stories are out there of everybody, and you told that person's story because it mirrors where you're stuck. And telling that person's story helped it become unstuck. Or maybe you made up the whole thing. But is
Don't
your
tell
fear
people
of,
that.
Is your fear of heights gone? Oh, it is. And let's not worry about it.
let's not mess with the details.
Yeah, so it doesn't have to be real. It's just a story that you are telling. And by telling it, you're helping to let go of the issue that is at the core or the fear that's at the core of that particular story.
Isn't that wonderful? And generally, you find it does bring relief in just one session?
Typically, I will see a client once or twice. Now, my sessions are 2 hours long, but we accomplish a lot, as you can see, in 1 2-hour period of time. So it's short-term therapy. The prospect of getting together once every 2 weeks with a client for the rest of our lives absolutely bores me.
Oh, sure it would. And think about how it bores and think about how it drains the pocketbook of the client, especially since that's not how you fix it. The talk therapy is never going to fix these issues. I could have talked to someone forever about the problem of stepping off edges, and it would have made no difference.
Right. And also going back into earlier memory in this life wouldn't have made any difference because that was not the cause.
That's not where it started. Right. It was inexplicable. This is exciting. Now, there's another thing that Brian Weiss did, and that was to discover if there was nothing obvious in a past life that he could progress people to future lives and there find the cause of a present life trauma. Has that ever happened in your practice?
I've not gone into the future lives for trauma release because for me, my own perspective is that we are living in the present and the future is going to be determined by what the choices we make from this moment forth.
Yes. Well, that's a more positive way to think about it, I think.
I think it is possible. There was a book called Mass Dreams of the Future by Chet Snow, and this came out maybe 30 years ago. And Chet is a past life regression therapist who explored what might happen if you take a client into the future. And what he discovered was that there were five basic scenarios that could occur, from really, really exactly what you hope will turn out to be versus, oh my gosh, it's just terrible for you.
Yeah.
And so it's all those possibilities are out there. You can go into the future. You can seek to program for the future. But in reality, I think karma may step in, or other choices that you make between now and that you've not yet made may alter that. So I
may
typically say...
Yes, we do have free will. That's right.
Right, right.
So as far as you're concerned, though, what might this not cure? Because it would be easier to say that than or improve. I realize this may not be able to cure things, but
right. There
are things that it could immensely improve. But what do you think it wouldn't be good for?
Well, major health issues that where it's not necessarily past life related. I mean, I work in concert with physicians and medical professionals as well. So I'm not saying this is the cure-all for anything and everything. I'm just saying that for those who have not been able to resolve issues with either talk therapy or other means, that they might think about this as another possibility to explore. Because we know after that first session what has shifted and what has not. And
right.
Sometimes,
right.
And it's not as if we have to wait 6 months to see how things are going. Rather, I do a follow-up meeting or conversation with my clients about 5 or 6 days later to talk about what's happened since the time we got together. What have you learned? What have you thought about? How are things going with that particular issue? And it could be for major trauma, for major issues, that there are layers that we take off with each session or with each visit. So it's not saying that we can do everything in one session. No, but what I find is that things get better. And that as a result of the time we spend together in the trance state.
This is so fascinating. So, but there are physical things that this could improve, right?
Absolutely. Yes, indeed. And so...
If you had a cancer, I can imagine if you've been to a physician, you're not getting help there. There are people who just simply don't want to go through those kinds of treatments.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I've heard of cases where this kind of therapy could, and other kinds of basically healing energies therapy, which this looks to me like a variant of, were able to cure those problems just beautifully. So
and
you don't want
yes.
people to come to you first, but you do want them to know that there may be help coming from you as well in these areas.
Exactly. And hypnosis is, I think, a marvelous modality to use because we can go into this life. We can go into past lives
yeah.
as a way of seeking the cause or source of the issue. So I use both this life and past lives with my clients because not everything is from a past life experience.
Sure. And to go back to something you said, which someone driving in a car is, when is she going to ask about this? All right, so the person who said his dying thought was there was never enough food.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is this a way to cure people who perhaps have an overeating problem or help them with that?
It certainly is, because that could be one of many triggers, if you will, or feelings or beliefs that you have about food that are left over from another time that you are unconsciously aware of.
So it's just that you were very hungry and you don't ever want to be hungry again, like Scarlett O'Hara in Gone with the Wind, so you just... are eating the food because it's there and you never know when you get any more. At a subconscious level, you have that worry.
Or to go back into that lifetime when you starve to death and to realize then in the bardo that it wasn't your fault, it was what had happened around you, and then to bring in your present life person today, your conscious mind today, and have a dialogue with that past life personality to help you realize that that thought, there's never enough food, was really from a past life. And it doesn't
right.
need to affect your life right now, because
right.
there's plenty of food all around. And in fact, what you might want to do instead is be more responsible with your food choices, because there is enough food there, rather than there's never enough food.
So have you seen people actually lose weight as a result of this therapy?
Yes, I have. Yes. And lots of cases are in terms of case studies have proven that hypnosis can be very helpful, as well as past life regression can be helpful in resolving or helping people return to their ideal weights.
This is fascinating. I should mention, too, because some people are wondering about this, that to use the terms from a religion is convenient, and that's why Peter uses those terms. This is a natural process. It's absolutely scientific. You don't have to be of a certain religion or believe anything
right.
in order for it to help you put a positive way. When I say heaven, I'm not talking about the religious heaven. I'm talking about the genuine eternal life, which is the only possibility we have, because the religious heaven does not exist. So it's important to understand this is science, and it will be known within the next 20 years as very basic science. And people like Peter, who have been doing this work, I mean, you're doing God's work, trying to help people before mainstream science catches up to us.
Mm-hmm.
So thank
mm-hmm.
you for doing that. That's so mm-hmm. important.
And in fact, I tell clients that my role is to help them release the blocks that are preventing them from getting what they want. So
it's a very practical thing. Oh,
yes.
Okay, think about that for a minute. So, Peter, I'm having trouble with because I can't get the job I want, or, you
mm-hmm.
know, I keep striking out with women or men or something. So that kind of an issue then is something people could come to you with and get help?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we then invite your own higher self, your inner wisdom, to take us back to the cause or source, and frequently will take us back to something that happened in this life or a belief that you have about yourself. And we can then help you come to closure with that, help you release it, set it free.
And if you have happy results coming from that,
oh,
do you talk?
Absolutely.
Peter, this is great.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Well, it could be that Dad said you would never be a success, you know, when you were 10 years old. And so that little 10-year-old boy is still thinking, well, Dad said I can't be a success, and therefore I can't be. Well, let me just stop right here and share a little story that I think is very instructive here. I was at a workshop several years ago, and turned out there was a hypnotherapist in the audience with me, and we engaged in idle chatter during one of the breaks, and he shared with me at a later break that day a video on his cell phone of a client session. And the client was in hypnosis, and the hypnotherapist and the client had invited the client's uncle, Harold, to come and join them. Well, Harold had passed on years before. But in the video, you could see a little photograph of Uncle Harold dancing right next to the client's face. Harold was not actually, there was no photograph of Harold actually in the session room, but he was present. Thank you very much.
That's amazing.
And so that underscores something I've been doing for years with clients, is inviting the other person, if it's a relationship or whatever, to join us, whether the person is currently in physical body, has passed on, is a past life personality, or is a resource or guide or whatever from the spirit world.
Uh-huh. Of course.
And so by bringing Dad in, even though Dad passed on 10 years ago, or he's still alive, into the session room through the client's imagination, it allows us for the client to speak his truth to Dad and hear Dad's response, while I'm serving as the mediator between the two to help them come to closure, to the place of forgiveness. And if Dad does not really want to participate in terms of he doesn't change his mind about what he said to his son, we can invite Dad's higher self to be part of the conversation as well. So there's a conversation between the client, and dad and dad's higher self. It really is the greater part of dad that is much more willing to say he's sorry. And that brings about a shift in the client and that particular issue because they feel heard and loved and supported. Wow. In one session.
You must love doing what you do.
I do.
I can see why you would say, everybody who needs me, I'm right here. I'll work all night if you'd like. I can see why you feel that way because this would be beautiful to see these, see people being so easily helped and you're facilitating it. Wow.
And they're stepping into their own power. They're letting go of the past to truly be who they want to be.
Yes. We're coming close to the end of our time, and I want to make sure I say this too. You'll probably disagree with me, Peter, but here's where my mind goes with this. We have a world which is broken. We need to hypnotize this world, and I'm talking really the people in it, and get them to straighten out and get them to fix things. And that's part of the process that I'm engaged in now in trying to help people understand the importance of the teachings of Jesus, which I have a new book coming out on in the fall called The Fun of Growing Forever. But what has occurred to me is this. All right, I've lived all these lives in the past, have future lives to come, and what I do for good or ill, assuming I'm back there, that foolish young man, I can affect other lives, not only mine, but since my life is part of the world of people at that time, I can affect the world then.
Yes.
So it may be that in doing this work, what we're doing is healing all of reality. I have a sense that the history that's on shelves right now is not any true history. As we begin to enlighten ourselves, we will be fixing all of human history at the same time. I mean, does that make sense to you?
It makes sense because we're all connected.
What we do for ourselves is
others are affected. And I think your point is, your initial point I will disagree with about we need to hypnotize everyone.
Well, that's a little metaphor, dear. I wasn't really meaning it.
But what I mean by that is that I think so many people, especially today, are in hypnosis, almost fear-related. They're in this place of hypnotized fear, which is not real.
Right. It's not real, and it's the opposite of love, and that's the reason we have such a mess right now, I really think.
So by waking them up and helping them realize that by taking responsibility for themselves and doing the very best they can do to bring light into the world, that we will all benefit, because as we help ourselves, we help those around us.
And when you take a book off a shelf 100 years from now, if we all are working to do this, in healing ourselves, we're healing the world, and you'll open to any page, and you'll see nothing but love and light. All the wars we think happened actually didn't happen. I really think that's where we're going, and I hope it will only take 100 years. Oh, Peter, I love you. This is so much fun. I wish we had all day. Tell us again how people can find you.
To go to my website, it's www.insights, I-N-S-I-G-H-T-S, from within. com, and you'll find information on me. In particular, I invite you to take a look at what clients say about me. The testimonials will give you a good flavor for the type of work that I do and the results that I get with the help of my clients, because they're the ones doing the work. I'm facilitating, I'm encouraging them, I'm holding the space, but I'm very proud of the shifts and changes that so many people have been able to achieve by doing this type of work.
Oh, thank you so much, dear. I've got to say now, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. You are a powerful, eternal being. You never began. You never will end. And when you really get that, it's going to make everything in your life more wonderful. If you want to learn more of the amazing things we're learning about our one reality, of course, past episodes of Seek Reality are available for free on webtalkradio.net and also iTunes. Just search for Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Our guest next week will be the incomparable scientist and scholar and wonderful all-around good guy, Dr. Gary Schwartz of the University of Arizona at Tucson. Gary is a wonderful man who is working to engineer a better world, as are we all, but he's doing it in the laboratory. His new book is, this is a mouthful, Synchronicity and the One Mind, How the New Self-Science of Super Timing Can Transform Our Lives. or Supermind for short. You're going to love what he has to say, and you're really going to enjoy Gary. Our guest today has been Peter Wright, who is another fearless and visionary mind working on pushing back the boundaries of ignorance. And I think, frankly, Peter, more than most, you understand what's possible, and you're doing it. So bless you, dear. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Dear friends, because the practice of medicine is still limited by materialist science, even 100 years after they started the foolishness of even having a mainstream scientific dogma, there are many effects on our lives that frankly, they can't help at all. Think of the suffering that comes from ignorance. And when that ignorance is being perpetuated by the very people we most look to with trust to help us, I think that's tragic and doubly tragic. And frankly, the energy-based, the mind-based cures, as Peter is helping us to understand today, actually work better than chemicals and talk therapy in many situations. So let's get right down to what really works. Whenever we have health troubles, whether they're of the body or of the mind, if we're not getting help from the people that tell us that they're the ones who know, it's time to go to someone like Peter Wright and actually try to get a cure. Now, finally, for the first time in human history, we have such a greater understanding of what's going on that we have new and effective ways to heal ourselves and give ourselves the best possible lives. So we have an exciting future just ahead, but for now, please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being, and you are infinitely loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.